Father, I thank you again this morning. Thank you for those who are here in this morning and those who are here in their afternoon zone, whatever time they have. Thank you for your blessing and for keeping all of us. Thank you for keeping our minds also in perfect peace. You know, keeping us in perfect peace because our minds are stayed on you. And we thank you, Lord, because you have given us instruction concerning the times that we are in. You've also encouraged us, you know, to keep our hearts and not let our hearts be troubled. But you want us to know these things. So we thank you, Lord, as we are preparing for the imminent coming of the Lord. We ask that you give us understanding. The entrance of your word brings understanding, sheds light, and gives us understanding. So let it be. As we go into your word, the Holy Spirit, the great teacher, let him break unto us the bread of life and understanding even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we pray against distractions, disruptions, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome everyone again. Let me get right to it. Today, I'm starting with the keys to understanding Bible prophecy. Yeah. So, because we're going to, you know, Bible prophetic series, end time prophetic series, we need to lay a foundation. Those of you that have been in this room for any length of time, you may know that that's how we try to do things, kind of build up gradually into the thing, into the lesson or the theme. So the theme for this series is, you know, the Bible prophetic series for the end of time, you know, or you might call it Shadow of the End series. So, but we are here, we're right around the shadow of the end. And so what is the Lord telling us? Well, I am going to talk today about how to understand Bible prophecy. So what is Bible prophecy? And I pray that we will have those who help me post these scriptures. As always, I appreciate that. I do have a few scriptures, because this is a teaching. You know, these kinds of subjects, they are deep teaching. You can't do it as a preaching. It's a teaching. You have to go into many things to explain it, you know, to the people. So we're going to start in 2 Peter. We're going to read from chapter 1. Now we'll read a couple of verses out there to us, from starting at verse 19. So it says, I need 2 Peter. I mean, 1 Peter right now. 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay. So we have a more sure word of prophecy, he says, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of this scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that's going to be my foundational scripture as we go into this Bible prophetic series, Shadow of the End series. Now, where are we with prophecy these days? Well, let me read that to you again. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. And that's a very clear declarative statement. But it's warning us that we should do well. We will do well if we take heed unto it, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. So this world is dark right now. And that's the light that shines, we're being told here, is a more sure word of prophecy. Guide us through, you know, the dark you know, the dark places and so forth. Help us to navigate through, a path through these times that are dark. You know, in the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 60, we read that, you know, it is time for us to shine. But while we are shining, we recognize that the parallel phenomena in the world is going to be darkness. It says here in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. I mean, they'll be groping around in darkness. They won't have a clear direction. They won't understand, you know, the times that we are in. But for us, he says that the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen on thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Now, that means we are kind of like a lighthouse. You know, we'll be attracted. You know, when you, in the night, when you turn on the light, you know, all the moth and the butterflies and all these things, they're just drawn towards that light. You know, we're to have that kind of effect. You know, we're the lighthouse. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, begins to speak to the people about us having, this is the kind of effect that we should have on the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth, he said. You know, but he gave a caution. If the salt has lost its savor, then it cannot, where would it be salted? I mean, the salt is good for many things, but if it can't do that anymore, if the salt is now flat, then it's no good. You know, so what happens then? It is good for nothing. Then we cast out and, you know, people just trample it underfoot. Then he went on in verse 14 of Matthew 5 to say that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, so neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so that it gives light to everyone that's in the house. And you know that even if we are not using candlesticks today, you know, so we've moved further than candlesticks, but this concept is still the same. If you are in a house, the light bulbs are usually in the ceiling, not on the floor. You know, you may have one or two places where they have lighting on the floor just so people will not miss their step when it gets dark. Like when you are in the plane, they will have some lighting on the floor that shows you the exit in case all the lights go out, you know, and there is an emergency. But most of the time, the lights are up on the ceiling, or at least at a higher level, so that it can shine down on everything. That's what Jesus is saying here. So let your light therefore so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we're going to be the light, and we need to have understanding. Now, understanding, when we did the wisdom series, you know, we covered that already. The understanding and knowledge and various things that give us an advantage. Well, you know, we are not supposed to be in darkness. We are supposed to be in the light. You know, nothing about what's going on should come upon us unawares, because, you know, the Lord has already told us these things. In fact, in some places he will say, you know, lo, I have told you these things. You know, so that when they come to pass, then you will know that these are the things that the Lord already told us, you know. So, this is where we want to be. We want to be people that have understanding. You know, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, you know, and verse 32, we are told that the children of the tribe of Issachar, there were men who understood the times. They also knew what Israel should do. You know, so They understood the times, and by their understanding of the times, you know, they had advantage over their brethren. You know, they were, you know, all their kinsmen were at their command because they had understanding of the times. And so this understanding can give us an advantage. Now, prophecy does not come by the will of man. We're told this foundational scripture that we read told us that prophecy does not come by the will of man. 2 Peter 1:19-21. Well, how did it come? Well, holy men of God wrote or spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Well, if the Holy Spirit gave it, then only the Holy Spirit can also interpret it. So the principles that we are going to be giving here and the keys of understanding the kingdom, understanding Bible prophecy, will be based on knowing that the Holy Spirit gave the prophecy, the Holy Spirit can interpret it. You know, so we must look to the Holy Spirit for the interpretation. Now, we're also told that it's a sure word. It's not here nor there. Now, God, let me say this right off the bat. In this series, I'm not going to be dealing with predictions. God does not make predictions. God doesn't predict. He foretells. A big difference. A man makes predictions. You know, we can predict this and that. You know, we can even try to predict the weather. You know, we have a lot of weather analysts on the news. They even use science and technology these days to predict the weather. You know, they gather information and gather statistics over, you know, thousands of samples. And let's say they gather 100 samples. And if these conditions that exist today existed 75 times out of the last 100 samples, the same exact conditions, then, and let's say those conditions left to rain or precipitation, then they conclude the mathematical and statistical model will tell them that you now have a 75% chance of rain. Because, you know, these same conditions, 75 times out of the last 100 samples we gathered, resulted in rain. You know, so, you know, we say you have a 75% chance of rain. Now, all of that is prediction, you know, and that's okay. You know, by they predicting it, if they get it wrong or they get it right, most of the time they get it very close because they do use, you know, a lot of samples. The more sampling you have, the more likely that your analysis will be closer to being correct. You know, so that, you know, if they get it right or they don't get it wrong, you know, that's okay. Just because they get it wrong, that does not make them a false meteorologist. You know, sometimes, you know, people who teach prophecy also, they may get it wrong. That doesn't necessarily make them a false prophet. Just they got it wrong, you know. But I'm not going to deal with predictions, you know, because God doesn't do that. I am going to deal in prophecy and foretelling of the future. God is able to foretell the future accurately. He doesn't need to predict anything because he already knows the future. He's already seen everything. He doesn't need to make prediction. Is calculated, it's guesswork, nonetheless calculated, educated. You know, people make educated guesses, educated calculation of what might turn out based on what they know. You know, we can even use the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, and because of the mind of Christ, we can even predict certain things. Because look, this is the way that things have been. Jesus gave us some things, you know, about the days of Lot, about the days of Noah. So I can predict that these are the things that are going to happen, you know. But when we talk about prophecy, you are saying it exactly the way it is going to happen. because that's what prophecy is. So I want to make that distinction. Now, prediction can also be accurate, you know, if it is guided by the mind of the Holy Spirit, it can be accurate or very close to being accurate, you know, but the prophecy is a sure word. There's no prediction about it. It's a more, so in fact, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And we take heed to it. It is time for us to blow the trumpet. That's why we played that song at the beginning. And prophecy is about that. It's about exactly that. You know, and the scripture says, look, there are many sounds, you know, there are many sounds. There's none of them that is without significance, you know, but, you know, if you do not blow a clear sound, you know, then we may confuse not only ourselves, but we may confuse the people as well. So it is important that the person that is blowing the sound know how to blow the sound correctly. In the times of Israel and so forth, we read in the Bible, they have the trumpet they blow. Some people call it shofar. And there's a way they will blow it. A certain sound that you blow, the certain way you blow it, it means certain things. You know, sometimes you blow it for an alert when you blow it a certain way. Sometimes the sound is to gather the people. And even for the gathering of the people, there's different sounds. You may gather the people for a celebration. That sound, the way it is blown, is different. You may gather the people for a warning. It's different. You may gather them for a solemn assembly. It's different. You know, but you've got to blow the correct sound. Otherwise, nobody, you know, will. I mean, for instance, if it is, about preparing for battle, because the watchmen have seen that someone, you know, the watchmen are on the tower, they're on the tower, they're looking and they see that people are charging towards them, they blow the trumpet. And if you don't blow a correct sound, the scripture says, well, who's going to prepare themselves to battle? Because they don't understand what you're doing. You know, so you can read all about in 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 14. Paul in that place was actually talking about, you know, tongues and interpretation and so forth. But, you know, he gave a good understanding here. He said, look, you know, things that give sound, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7, things that give sound, even though they don't have life, whether it's pipe or harp or trumpet or shofar or whatever, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is being harped or piped? You know, how shall we know what the sound of the trumpet, unless it's clear? So we're not going to muddle the waters with predictions. We're going to give pure, sure word of prophecy. Now, it says, you know, or if the trumpet blow an uncertain sound, 1 Corinthians 14 and 8, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Because they don't really know what he's saying. Maybe instead of blowing the battle signal, he blew a signal that was not clear, or looked like it was battle, looked like it's to gather for celebration, or to gather for this and that. Then they don't really know, and they're confused. Okay, so, you know, that's why you have to blow the trumpet. Even in business today, security people, they have different codes, security codes. They may say code blue, or code red, or code such and such. Even law enforcement, they have certain codes, because when they know they are broadcasting over the air, and I don't want some other people to interpret it, but they have their own code, you know. And then when they say this way, and that's where you use those codes, then the person listening who is learned, they know what's in progress, whether it's a robbery that's in progress, whether it's this, it may be a fire alarm, it may be this and that. You know, for us also, we have the responsibility, you know, to sound the alarm and get people prepared. All of that I have said so far is just a preparation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to read a couple of verses here. Now, you are the children of light, he says. Brethren, we are not in darkness. So that the world, all these things should overtake us as a thief. We are the children of light. You know, and we are children of the day. And we are not the children of the night or of darkness. You know, the darkness should never rule over us. Because we don't belong to darkness. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. You know, so being that we are in the light, we should always be in the light. Now, the purpose of prophecy is to show, ladies and gentlemen, show, not hide. The purpose of prophecy is to show to us, not hide from us, the things that are coming. And some people ask, they just don't like reading some prophetic books, like the book of Revelation, which we're going to get into, the book of Daniel, and some other prophetic things that talk about the future. They just don't like it, you know, because they say, well, we can't understand that, you know, this and that and so forth. There are some keys to understanding these things. By the time we go through these lessons, you'll see that it's actually not that hard to understand those things, you know, so. The key is, the first key is in the book of Revelation chapter 1. This book of Revelation is one book that we will be getting into. Now, this is what it says as an introduction. You know, he said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now, notice, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of John. Many people call this book the Revelation of John. That's a myth or a misnomer or an error, you know, for ages that has been. Even those who compile this Bible, they call it Revelation of John. It was never the Revelation of John. So it's right here. The Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Then he sent it and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So it was Jesus' revelation, not John's. But he sent it to John through his angel. But the purpose was to show to his servants, not to hide from his servants. You know, so let's lay that foundation. That's principle and key number one. These things are given unto us for us to know the times and the seasons. I mean, it's not about dates. Dates, Jesus said, those are things which the Father has kept in his own mind. He may not tell us dates. He may if he chooses, but that's, if he doesn't, well, fine. But we should understand the times. Jesus always told the Jews and the Pharisees that, look, you guys can discern up and down this and so on. But you can't discern the times. Now, Revelation chapter 20, this whole book of Revelation, starting from Revelation chapter 1, which I just read, then you go all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. You go to Revelation chapter 22, which is the very last chapter in the book of Revelation. And you see what it says in Revelation chapter 22. And verse 10. What does he say? He said, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. The very first verse is, he's giving us these things to show us the things that are coming. And at the end of it, he says, don't seal it up. You know, now there were some things that were sealed. Daniel at some time was told, well, seal up these things until the time of the end. Well, now at the end, he said, don't seal these things, but the time is now here. So we are no longer in the time of sealed prophecy. No, we are no longer in the time of the sealed book. In fact, Jesus took the book in Revelation chapter 5 and opened the seals. There is no, you know, there is nothing anymore, you know, that is hidden. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26, scripture says, and this is in other places as well, there is nothing hidden that shall not be known. You know, so, you know, not, prophecy is not hidden anymore. It might have been at some time. That was then, but this is now. There is nothing covered anymore that shall not be revealed, and nothing hid that shall not be known. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. So, I want to lay that foundation. We're not going to couch things so that people cannot understand. What good is that? You know, God is giving out prophecy for us to, I mean, to show us what is coming. So we're going to use great plainness of speech and call it out like the Bible calls it out. You know, so that's very important. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, we read some instructions that Daniel was giving, you know, which I just referred to, you know, but I want us to understand that we're not living in the time of Daniel, you know, we're not, you know, Daniel was told in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal up the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Well, Daniel was told, so seal it up. But the same sentence, the instruction in the same sentence said, until the time of the end, which means, you know, the until there means there is a time limit to that action. The sealing is for a time. And at some point in time, which is called the time of the end, there will be an unsealing. And an unveiling of these things. So that's what Daniel was told here. And he said, at that time, knowledge shall increase. So God wants us to know these things. So that's where we are headed here. God will show us many things from the scriptures that we are supposed to know. And we shouldn't say, oh, I can't know these things. You know, so here is what Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you these things. And he said, look, some of these things I didn't tell you at the beginning because I was with you, but now because I'm leaving, I start to tell you these things. So Jesus was not holding back. Hello, I'm going to tell you these things, you know. And he said, well, okay, there are some things I told you, though, about my leaving and so on that made your heart to be filled with sorrow. But don't worry about it. If I you know, it's good for me to go so that the Holy Spirit can come and so on. But the point here is, look, I'm telling you these things so that when the time shall come, you will remember that I told you these things. So that's the effect of prophecy. Lo, I have told you before. You know, so these are foundational things that I want us to know. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. For the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us. You know, so there are some things that are secret. I mean, that's his business if he wants to keep them secret. But for the things that are revealed, that's our business to know the things that are revealed. And he has revealed a lot of things. Now, there was a point in time when the book was sealed, right? So, you know, the book was sealed. Nobody was found, you know, to be able to even open the book. But John was crying and he was told, well, don't worry about it. You know, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, you know, to open the seals and to show the contents of the book. You know, so we see that Jesus, he stepped up. He took the book, began to open the seals, and he began to show us. Revelation began to jump out of the book as he was saying it. And I mean, as he was opening it up and showing it to us. Now, seal after seal, he showed what God had hidden. You know, so let's bear these things in mind. There is a lesson here in Isaiah chapter 29. You know, let's read from verse 11. In the book of Isaiah 29, we are told that there is a sealed book. This sealed book, you can give it to somebody who is unlearned to read it, and you say, well, I can't read it because I don't understand it. I mean, I don't understand. I have no learning, so I can't, you know, it wouldn't mean anything to me. Well, you give the book to the one that is learned, and he says, well, I can't read it because it is sealed. You can read that in Isaiah 29, verses 11 and 12. So, the person that's learned cannot read it because it's sealed. The person that's unlearned could not read it because they're unlearned anyway. Now, so that was then. You know, this veil and this sealing and all of these things have been done away with in Christ. The Holy Spirit is now here to reveal unto all loving inquirers and worthy seekers these things that are hidden and have been hidden for ages. It's now here. And we're going to take it step by step. Now, in the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6, and we covered this also when we did the Wisdom and Knowledge series, God gives a very serious warning here, you know, about not knowing things. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected knowledge, he said, I also will reject thee, you know, that there should be no priest unto me. So, well, the priest of God, teaching priests especially, are supposed to know these things. And if you don't know them, scripture says, you will not be a priest unto me. Paul himself, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15, which we read and quote all the time, he says, study, show yourself approved, you know, on these things, so that you can rightly divide the word of truth, and you know these things, and you can, you know, show yourself approved. You know, so prophecy gives knowledge of the times, but you can have no knowledge if you do not understand the keys, you know, to unpack those. And I talked about keys before. I said, if somebody gave you a bunch of keys and you don't know which key opens what door, it's still meaningless. You know, so in this little series, we'll put it all together. Now, willful ignorance is no excuse. That's what we read in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. Willful ignorance is no excuse. So we need to know these things. Now, that's enough said on the background to prophecy. You know, I've spent about 30-40 minutes explaining the background to prophecy because it's so important that we have this thing. I'm going to take my time throughout this series. You know, so that to eliminate the confusion that people have about Bible prophecy or even any prophecy they've heard that deal with end time events. Now, here are some keys that I want to share with us today. How usually prophecy, many prophecies we see in the Bible are, you know, given in symbols. You know, symbols most of the time, but the symbol needs to be explained. So when people see a symbolic thing, they don't understand it. They say, well, what's that all about? Then they get confused. Then they move on. because, you know, they can't figure it out. Well, you know, if God wanted us to be confused, then he has not done us any good. So he does not want us to be confused. He wants us to understand, you know. He says in Hosea chapter 12, verse 10, I have also spoken by prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes. That's symbols. That's symbolism. You know, God will use symbolism by the ministry of the prophet. So let me read that to you again. Hosea 12 and 10. I have spoken by the prophets. I have multiplied visions. I have given similitudes or symbolisms by the ministry of the prophet. So we had some prophets from Bible days, which we are going to be reading some of their writings. John, the so-called book of Revelation, the Daniel, even Jesus himself, Matthew 24, Luke 21, many places, you know, the things that he gave. You know, and God said here, I use symbolisms through the ministry of the prophets. Well, you've got to figure out what those symbols are then. The first key is to look for the interpretation within the prophecy itself. That's number one. Because sometimes the Lord will give the interpretation within the prophecy itself. And that's number one lesson or key. And for the most part, we should try to look for a literal interpretation, unless it is clear that it is symbols. You know, it's not every prophecy that is symbolic. It may be literal. And it's not every prophecy that may be literal. It may be symbolic. And we're going to figure out how to decipher between whether it is symbolic or literal. Now, if symbols are used, you know, then we need to figure out how to interpret those symbols. Now, remember, given by the Holy Spirit, it must be interpreted by the Holy Spirit. We can't, you know, we can't try to figure out in our human minds things that God gave by the Spirit. But it is important for us to understand that even when symbols are used, the meaning will be consistent within that prophecy, not necessarily consistent throughout the Bible. This is an error that I have seen. You know, people try to use, you know, some symbol that God used over here, and that's always the same meaning throughout the Bible. Well, that's not necessarily so, and I will show that as we go along. However, within the same prophecy, that symbol will be consistent. So, if the symbol is used two or three times within the same series of prophecy, then its meaning will be the same within that prophecy. You know, the symbol may be used in another set of prophecy relating to other events, whether or not the meaning at that point is the same as the one before. We may or may not be so, you know, but within the same prophecy, the symbol must be consistently used. Otherwise, we'll be confused. You know, so I'm going to also be talking about what I'm doing today is just give you an overall overview, I mean, sort of what we're going to be doing. When you write a dissertation, you know, you give an introduction of what you are going to, you know, to write. And then you write the thing, and then you come back and give a summary. You know, so the introduction is what I'm doing here. There are different kinds of prophecy, and we're going to be breaking prophecy down into many types of prophecies. You know, there's going to be prophecies that I call dual prophecies. There's going to be some prophecies that I call split prophecies, and so on and so forth. There are conditional, unconditional prophecies, and all of that. We're going to get into that. But even when a symbol is used, you know, here's what God says about it. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. He says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. I mean, you know, a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search it out. So we have been made priests and kings. So even the so-called things that we think are concealed, which we have already read is no longer to be concealed, it is our honor to search it out. Jesus also invited the people. John 5 verse 39. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And these scriptures are the ones that testify of me. And, you know, I mean, prophets were diligently searching the scriptures, looking for what manner of time the Holy Spirit, you know, was talking about when he signified of the things of Christ. I mean, these things are in the Bible. We're going to get to them. You know, the reasons why it is important to search the scriptures. You know, let me read to you here in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, the trial of your faith, verse 7, is much more precious than gold that perisheth, and so forth. You know, so you try with fire, be found to the praise and honor of the Lord at his appearing. Whom having not seen, ye love, and in whom though you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand of things, you know, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves only, but unto us they ministered those things which are now reported unto you, and so on and so forth. Wherefore, guard up the loins of your minds, you know, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that will be brought to you, and so on and so forth. You know, so prophets search diligently these things. They search, you know, I mean, when Herod said, look, even the scribes, everybody, when Herod said, where would Christ be born? They went and searched the scriptures and they said, we have found in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 that thou Bethlehem, O Ephrathah, though thou be least among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that will be governor among my people, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting, and so forth. So they found a place where it was written that Christ will be born in Jerusalem. And even the Magi, or the wise men who came from the east, said, we have seen his stars. You know, they searched these things out. You know, so it is for us to search. The God may conceal a thing. He concealed them back then. But it's the honor of kings to search it out anyway. And in fact, they are no longer concealed. So we'll be talking about dual prophecies, split prophecies, conditional prophecies, unconditional prophecies, and so on and so forth. And what all these things mean. Now, there are many categories also. There are some categories of Bible prophecy as well that I will talk about. I'm going to be talking about event-based prophecy and time-based prophecy. People get confused when they don't understand whether the prophecy is event-based, you know, or time-based. There are some time-based prophecies that tell you at such and such a time. You know, I mean, like if the prophet said to the woman, you know, that according to the time of life, you will have a child. That's a time-based prophecy. Because from the point he spoke, the time of life, maybe 9 months or whatever, to have a prophet. So it's a time-based prophecy. You know, but if the prophecy says, when you shall see such and such happen, then such and such will happen. Well, that one is an event-based prophecy. And I'm going to give you examples of those later on. Because the prophecy at the end is now based on some event. When you see this happening, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, it doesn't tell you the date that it will happen. But when you see that event, then these other things will be triggered. So that's an event-based prophecy. There's also, you know, those kinds of prophecies we're going to talk about. There is also what I'm calling prophetic foresight, and historical hindsight. Now, remember, we covered hindsight and foresight when I was doing understanding in the series of wisdom, the wisdom series. We split understanding into insight, hindsight, and foresight. Well, understanding Bible prophecy is the same way. You know, just like the sons of Issachar that had understanding. You know, we have advantage of historical hindsight. There are some prophecies that were in the Bible that people did not understand, but we can now look at history and use historical hindsight to understand it. The prophecy. And say, okay, yeah, that's it. You know, you line it up, and history actually bears record to the prophecy. Because we may not have understood it, but when we see events that had already taken place in history, we can use that to line things up. And then, on the other hand, there is what is called prophetic foresight. We may not have a precedence for the thing. It may not have happened, but God will give insight into the future. In fact, that's where most prophecies are. Well, in the book of Revelation, as it unfolds in the book of Revelation, there are things that John was told at that time, which at the time, some of them, even at the time of John, were yet to happen. But when we look back now, you know, some of them that were yet to happen at John's time had already happened for us. You know, so John was told, you know, to write the things which are and the things which are to come to pass. You know, well, the things which are at his time and the things which were to come to pass for him. Some of those things which at John's time were yet future, some of them have already happened. Because that's, you know, many hundreds of years that have happened. In fact, a couple of thousand of years have happened since John's time till now. You know, so let's bear that in mind. But blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, and keep those things. Now, just reading and hearing is not enough. You must also take heed to those things because the time is at hand. Now, just by reading and hearing, you're blessed. But the blessing is not complete unless you take heed to those things. I mean, what good is it if the Lord gave you a warning of something that will happen tomorrow, you know, that could save your life, you know, but you don't pay attention and you go on anyway. Well, it says the foolish will go on anyway and they will fall in and be punished. But the prudent will foresee the evil and will hide himself. Well, the foreseeing of the evil is what's called prophetic foresight. And it's the Holy Spirit that can make that happen. Now, so, now, in the book of Revelation chapter 19 verse 10, we are told that the Spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. Well, it's all about the word of God. And it's all about Jesus. It's not about ourselves. You know, so that's why even the book of Revelation, which is so, I mean, loaded with all kinds of things, was the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of John. And it's all about Christ. I'm going to give you examples. Tomorrow I'm going to deal with, by the grace of God, I'm going to be dealing with the categories of prophecy, like event-based prophecy, like time-based prophecy, like dual prophecy. I mean, there are prophecies in the Bible that are dual. God will just say one thing, but it means a couple of different things. And we're going to call those out tomorrow. Then we'll talk about conditional prophecies versus unconditional prophecies, you know, and so forth. Now, I will remind you also throughout this series that we are not talking about predictions. We'll be talking about prophecy. Jeremiah chapter 23. Let me read to you verses 28 and 29. This is a sure word of prophecy. And this is the way, you know, that the Lord commanded us. If you have the word of God, this is the way you should do it. Make no apologies about it. Put it right out there. For the word of God will sustain itself. The prophet that had a dream, Jeremiah 23 and 28. Let him tell a dream. And he that had my word, let him tell my word. Speak it faithfully. Now, if you have a vision, tell the vision. If you have a dream, tell the dream. Now, if you have a dream and you don't have the interpretation, just tell the dream and leave it alone. If you have the vision and you don't have the interpretation, just tell the vision and leave it alone. But you should ask the Holy Spirit for the interpretation. Because we are told that even somebody that speaks with tongues and don't know what they are saying, they should either say it only to themselves, but if they're going to speak it out to the church, then they better ask for an interpretation. You know, so if you speak in tongues a lot, which is meant to carry a message, we're not talking about praying in the spirit, but speaking in tongues that carries a message should be followed by interpretation. And if there's no interpreter, then you should keep quiet. Or you yourself ask for the interpretation. And if you are given to dreams, don't say, I don't know the meaning of the dream. Ask for interpretation. The Lord will give you an interpretation. You know, if you are given a vision, ask for the interpretation. The Lord will give you interpretation. But don't muddle up the waters. That's why it says here, Jeremiah 23, verse 23. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? The wheat is the pure word. The chaff is all these predictions and stuff. You know, things muddle things up. You know, and then also when people prophesy in the name of the Lord, which the Lord has not sent them, then it is the chaff to the wheat. It brings confusion. You know, and people have said, the Lord said, the Lord said, and the thing doesn't come to pass. You know, we'll be looking at that also tomorrow. If the prophet says, the Lord said, and the thing does not come to pass, then the Lord said, that's a prophet that you should not worry about. Actually, if it's in a local assembly, you should get rid of it, because that spirit will spread quickly. You know, and that's what taking the name of the Lord in vain means. Some people don't understand. They think it's only when you use the name of the Lord to swear and so on, and then you take it in vain. You know, that's not it. When you say the Lord has said, when he didn't say, that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. Because the name of the Lord is his reputation. And if the thing you said the Lord said did not come to pass, which the Lord didn't say, then you have done damage to his name. You've taken his name in vain. Now, so let's be careful now. And a lot of us also say that too. You know, in our personal life, say, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord told me, the Lord told me. Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. You know, but we're not concerned about that. That's for your personal guidance. But if somebody gets up, because I'm going to go into not just Bible prophecy, but also prophecy, any kind of prophecy in the church too. You know, if somebody gets up and says, the Lord said that they, the Lord gave them instruction to do something crazy, like even totally contrary to the word of God, I'm not even going to fret it. It's none of my concern. That's between them and God. It's not going to bother me at all. I'm not even going to challenge it. Now, if they come to me for advice, that's a different thing. But if they say it and the Lord told them to do whatever, that's their business. Not on my concern. However, if they say the Lord said the church, or they bring the prophecy to the church, and if it's some crazy stuff that doesn't line up with the word of God, now we challenge it. Because now you're telling us. If it's what God told you, that's your business. God can tell you to do crazy things. I mean, that's your business. God told, Hosea, and all these people, go marry Harlot. Isaiah, he did that. Jeremiah, do this. Ezekiel, lie down on your side for many years. God told people to do crazy stuff. You know, told one person walk naked, you know, and so forth. Now, hey, that's what God told them. Now, but if somebody, because the Lord told you to walk naked, then you now bring that to the church and say, we should all walk naked. I'm going to say no. You know, so yeah, now we need discernment. But you can tell me God told you to do any crazy stuff. That's your business. I'm not going to fight you on it because it doesn't concern me. But if you make it concern me, now it becomes my business. Now I have to judge you by the word of God. Now, prophets that tell false dreams, Jeremiah 23, where we're reading right here, verse 32 says, behold, I am against them that has prophesied false dreams. And it's not just false dreams. You know, that said the Lord, you know, that caused my people to err because of their lies and by their likeness. Yet I have not sent them, you know, and he said, look, they shall not profit these people at all. So when we say things that the Lord didn't say, and we said the Lord said, I've taken the name of the Lord in vain. And it brings confusion. And it's called the chaff among the wheat. You know, and so this Jeremiah chapter 23 and other places which we will get to tomorrow, we'll talk about, you know, how to even know that a prophecy is from the Lord. You know, one, if the thing doesn't come to pass, then, well, that's the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Because if the Lord spoke it, it will come to pass. Because the Lord doesn't guess. So if somebody predicts something or prophesies something and it didn't come to pass, well, maybe they spoke out of their own vain imagination. I'm not going to bother my head about it. But if they use the name of the Lord, you know, if they say, I predict, well, people can predict anything they want. You know, I can predict today. I'm not predicting, so nobody should quote me. But suppose I predicted that, you know, the world was going to end tomorrow. And if the world didn't end tomorrow, well, it was just a prediction. So, but you see, that's the difference, you know. But and there have been, we've had many predictions, and some people went so far as even saying they prophesied. We've had people over the years that have brought out prophecies of when the Lord was going to come. Some of them said predict because, you know, they are careful to say predict, and that's okay. But some people went as bold as say the Lord was coming in certain times, certain years, and the Lord didn't come. We've heard the Lord's coming on so-so date, and he didn't come. The Lord is coming on so-so date, he didn't come. The Lord's coming on so-so date, he didn't come. And I tell you what, you know, the Lord will hardly reveal it to the world, you know, at the end of the age when he's coming. You know, you probably catch most people off guard. And even if you believe the Lord told you, when you open your mouth and say, maybe it won't be. And then you'll be like a fool, and then everybody will be confused. You know, so, you know, if we don't know, just tell the dream. Television, if you saw a dream and you don't know the meaning, just say it. Maybe God has the meaning for somebody else. I mean, giving the meaning to somebody else. If you have a vision and you don't know, just say it. Maybe God has a vision for somebody else, the meaning. But you should ask God for interpretation. But let's not be bold to say something that we are not even sure and then say it in the name of the Lord. That's the one that's even worse. You know, so throughout this series, I will not say anything in the name of the Lord but what's true. I will call it out from the Bible. If I think that that's what it means, I'll tell you that I think that that's what it means. You know, if I know that that's what it means because Jesus already gave the interpretation within the same prophecy or elsewhere in the Bible, then I will say that that's what it says. So again, we look for the interpretation within the prophecy itself, or we look for other prophecies that help to interpret the prophecy. Somewhere in the Bible, we're not talking about prophecies that people have given all over the place. We're talking about Bible prophecy. Inside this Bible prophecy, the meaning of it will be contained either within the same prophecy, or you will find a similar parallel prophecy elsewhere in the Bible that will give and shed some light on that. So we always look to the Bible. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, which means go back to the Bible. You know, go back to these things. Now, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If some prophecy is not according to the Bible, then it's doesn't carry light, and it's not for us. We are children of the light. Now, there's enough interpretation in the Bible for many of the Bible prophecies that we need to worry about at the end of the age, you know, but people are not taking time. That's why people are confused. So by the grace of God, during this series, as we go through, I will be covering many things that will help us to understand Bible prophecy. So today's introduction has been the keys to understanding Bible prophecy. I'm going to wrap up today's lesson there, and tomorrow and subsequent days, we're going to be dealing in this series that I'm now calling the Shadows of the End series. In this Shadows of the End series, we will begin to see, it's not quite the end, but we are the shadows. We'll begin to see the things that God wants us to understand. And we will call them out from the scriptures. Also, the spirit of prophecy, prophetic gift, you know, and the teaching gift is there to help us understand things, you know, but we'll bring it out from the scriptures, you know, so that you can always go back to the scriptures. There's enough information inside the Bible to self-interpret itself, you know, and if it's not in the Bible, then you don't want to know. Praise the Lord. Now, we're not talking about personal guidance. That's a different thing. We're talking about prophetic events that concern the church, Israel, the world, and so forth. Those things are already laid out in the Bible. If it's not there, you don't need to know. Now, your day-to-day activities, that's not in the Bible. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. You know, whether you should go somewhere today or not go, that's not in the Bible. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. As you are dressing up, whether you should wear blue or white or red or yellow, that's not in the Bible. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. It may be relevant. It may not be relevant. You know, that you should wear a color or not a color. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But we're talking about the things that concern us, you know, the things that Jesus has spoken about, the things that the Bible has spoken about in many books of this Bible. Those are the ones we're going to be looking at. And how we come to critical events that the church has been talking about for a long time. How do we come to what's happening in the kingdom of God now? Of course, many people still don't understand it. They don't understand what's happening in the kingdom. You know, and how do we come to, you know, what we call the rapture? People don't understand it. What happens thereafter? Many people don't understand it. Many people are confused. You know, some people say, you know, the rapture is already taking place. We're already in the millennium. There's no such thing as a rapture. This and this and this and this. There's all kinds of theories out there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we're going to come into Bible prophecy and figure it all out. Well, that's our lesson today. I want to leave today's lesson there because this is more of an introduction. When we come back tomorrow, we're going to get into, by the grace of God, that's by the grace of God, we're going to get into breaking down prophecies into whether they be event-based prophecies or time-based prophecies, looking at dual prophecies and split prophecies in the Bible, and so on and so forth, and, you know, trying to put it all together. It will still be more foundational before we start getting into the real prophecies. We have to lay all this foundation for us to help us to understand the principles of how to understand, to get the keys of understanding the Bible prophecies. Let me read one more verse of scripture to us in Daniel chapter 12. I read this again. I mean, I read this before, but I want to just read again. You know, he said in Daniel chapter 12, I mean, I read verse 4 before, that says, close up the words until the end. Well, I want to read chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, that says, well, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Well, in verse 4, he was told to seal up the things until the time of the end. Well, in verse 9, he said, well, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are sealed up until the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. The wicked shall do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. That's the one I want to underscore. I want to underscore that. The wise shall understand. They will be like the children, the sons of Issachar, that had understanding of their times. The wise shall understand. And so that's where we are headed. This is a promise that God gave us that we will understand. And we will understand. So thank you, Father, for the promise that we will understand. Thank you, Lord, because you said, I've told you these things in advance so that when the time comes, you may remember that I've told you. We thank you also, Lord, furthermore, because you said the Spirit of Truth, when he will come, he will remind you of the things that I already told you. And Lord, we thank you again that you said the same Spirit of Truth will lead you into all truth. He will not hide anything from you, but he will show you things to come. So Lord, we thank you because we are relying on the Holy Spirit to show us, not to hide from us, but to show us things to come. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.